Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book, In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
Save big money on your next upgrade now at Menards. Some things never go out of style, like tile from Mohawk. You can count on the durability, easy maintenance, and timeless beauty of tile. With over 350 ceramic, porcelain, mosaic, and glass tiles to choose from, Mohawk Tile provides long-lasting charm in any space. Visit the store and Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on in our weekly flyer. Save big money
at Menards. It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With, the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, for making your way here, checking out the series. Please do hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, it's going to be a special two-part episode. Robin Trower, legendary guitarist, and Derek Sherinian, who was recently named greatest keyboardist of the 21st century. So two masters of their instruments. First, we'll talk with Derek about his new album, Vortex, which he got to work with some great masters themselves, Steve Lukather, Zach Wilde, Nuno Bettencourt. Talk about what each of those collaborations is like and his future plans to team back up with his frequent collaborator, David Coverdale of Whitesnake. And then for the second half, we'll be talking with guitar legend Robin Trower about his record, No More Worlds to Conquer. And I'll tell you about that more here in just a few moments. Let's jump into this first part, talking about the album Vortex. It's Kyle Meredith with Derek Sherinian.
Hi, Kyle. How are you?
Congratulations on this new record.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
So as I read, you actually started on this even as you were finishing the previous one with the Phoenix. What's the thread that connects them, if there is? And I guess at that moment, did you have a vision for what this new album was going to be?
No, we pretty much, Simon and I got into a great, you know, writing flow for the Phoenix, and the creative juices were still flowing. And there was there's always a 7 month to 8 month period from the time you finish the record until it comes out. So once you're done with that record, after you decompress like a month, you know, we were ready to get back and start writing. And so we started working on Vortex before Phoenix even came out.
It's so great to hear how they do play together, but it's especially interesting to hear, I guess, these new little tracks you're doing. Of course, you know, Scorpion ends up being one of the first songs we hear. And I think I read you talking about, you said, don't be surprised if you see me going in this direction more in the future. Yeah. What's pulling you that way right now?
I don't know. I mean, I've always loved playing piano, but I've never recorded songs where it was just piano and no synthesizers or guitars. And Simon has been really instrumental in pushing me in that direction. I showed him the Dragonfly idea on the last record. He goes, this is fantastic. He goes, let's develop this, and we don't need guitars. Let's just do piano on this. And I was really, you know, insecure because I hadn't done it before, but Simon gave me the courage to proceed with it. And so we did it again on this record, and the response is just incredible for the piano stuff versus the electric. So I definitely want to explore that area more, for sure.
I have listened to that track so many times.
just so many times over and over. And there's a moment there, later in the, is it the last track on the album, right? What is that? Aurora, Australia.
Yeah.
Because that feels like that's the actual, to me, that's the bridge between, you know, this style that we get on the rest of the record and what we get on Scorpion.
For sure. Because it starts all acoustic and then it morphs into a whole electric thing.
How did that track come about? Because again, I'm only asking sort of the broad question as such a fan of that sound.
Well, on that track in particular, Simon and I just sat down. We didn't have any preconceived ideas except the piano intro I had. And so we worked that out, and then we said, okay, where are we going to go? Let's do a trilogy. Where's the next section? And we just kind of had a stream of consciousness and started writing and building it, building the song. And we do that section, go, okay, now where do you want to go? I go, why don't we go for like a Keith Emerson type vibe on this section, ELP. And he goes, all right, cool. So then we just start, you know, it's like two kids with crayons, and we just start coloring and making it happen. And that's what it is.
When it comes at natural, like a question like what I'm about to ask might not even matter, but like on a song like that, like how thin is the line between prog rock and jazz?
Well, there's no line. The lines are completely blurred, and that's the art form, is mm-hmm. that Simon and I are musicians who are chameleons, yet we have our own signature style on our instruments. So no matter what style we play, you're going to be able to identify us because our musical personality is that strong. And so we love all of those different genres, but it isn't like, all right, let's go into progressive rock here, and then we'll go to jazz fusion here. It's just all blurs together. It's all part of the same stew.
And then afterwards, it's people like me who get to say, oh, that's what that is.
Yeah. No, this is, yeah. I mean, we don't really think about it. It's just, we just do what we do.
Right, right. Of course, I got to mention all the great guests on here. Many of them you've worked with before. Does it change how you approach a song working with, I'm going to go at random here, like Steve Lukather versus Zakk Wylde?
Absolutely. Like each one of them have their, they're all great and in their own way, but all of them have their fortes. And so my job is to utilize all of them and maximize on their strengths and showcase that on the record. And so I want to put something that's more Jeff Beck and melodic, I'm going to use Lukather. If I need something more heavy and brutal, you know, who's going to do it better than Zakk? And you can go down the line for, you know, each of the guitar players are there because they have a specialty. And my music covers a lot of ground, and it requires, you know, the very best musicians in the world to make it come to life.
What was it about Nuno's playing that you wanted to collaborate with?
Nuno's awesome. I've been a fan for a long time, and we became friends in 2017 when I was on the Generation X tour. And Nuno just plays with a fire and swagger like Van Halen, and I love it. And just very exciting player and great attitude, great energy in his playing.
The Generation X tour, I was reading about that. And, you know, you do these, I don't know if you want to call it like all-star tours, but that definitely seems like one of those all-star tours. I think I'm going for the easy question. Just like, what is it to be on stage? Not like, what's it like, you know, oh, we have fun, but like, what is it to be on stage with that many power players at the same time? Because everybody is so good. How do you find your spot?
Well, in that situation, it wasn't about my spot. I mean, I was in a supportive role, and I was in the house band to back up all of the guitar players. And you're talking Steve Vai, Yngwie Malmsteen, Zakk Wylde, Nuno Bettencourt, Tosin Abasi. And so I had to be in. They would have all the guitar players go up and do their set, and then at the end, they would all come out and play together. But I was in the band. I had to be in the house band for Nuno, Zakk, Yngwie, and Vai, which are all totally different players, all different music. And so, to be able to cover all of those styles in one night, it's like pretty challenging, but it's awesome. And it gives you a sense of confidence where, like, you know what, if I can handle trading solos with these guys, I can handle you know, with anyone in the world.
Right.
And not only just trading souls with them, but doing it all in the same night, being able to switch styles like that.
Oh, it's just amazing.
It gives you a confidence.
Yeah, that's got to be amazing. I'm just looking at the track list here and remembering Seven Seas. I mean, speaking of wild, that takes on a wild sound right there. Is that a theremin at the end of that one? Is that what I'm hearing?
It sure is. Yeah, it's an amazing theremin. Armin Ra is my thereminist, and he was on the Phoenix, and he's on all over this record. It's a huge part of my sound. I love it. It's very haunting, and I think it's cool.
Yeah, that one especially. You know, in the titles, like Seven Seas on that one, Scorpion, as we say, does the title come afterwards to represent the sound, or do you find that you're, does the image come to you, come to whoever's naming these as you all are going along?
No, the titles come at the very last moment out of desperation, because we have deadlines to turn into the record company, and these songs have no lyrics, so what the hell are you going to call them? So at the very last minute, it's me and Simon going, dude, we got to name this, man. The label needs a name to put on the print onto the copy. So we usually come up with these titles at the very last minute.
You know what? It works well. Whatever that formula is, you guys have got processed that it works. Like, it gives me the image. Suddenly there's an entire picture painted as I'm listening to it, whether you meant it to or not.
No, it's good. Well, I'm glad. Thankfully.
So, do you have any other projects or collabs going outside of the album right now? Like, I had Coverdale on not too long ago, and of course we were talking about their latest work, which I know you did some stuff. I saw your tweet recently where I think you were saying, like, let's do it again. Is there more of that relationship to come?
Oh yeah, well, David is fantastic, and I've played on 6 Whitesnake records now, redoing the keyboards and for his reissues, and I think there's more to come this year. I love David Coverdale. I think he's fantastic, and I think he has one of the great voices of hard rock. I think he's one of the absolute greats, and I'm honored that he loves my playing so much and uses me on his records.
Well, the relationships you got every single time, the way you fit in with these musicians, I've become such a fan of what you've been doing over the past 20 years.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah.
So, Derek, I'll say it again. Congratulations on Vortex. It's so fun to listen to. You and Simon outdid yourselves this time.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your support. Take care, buddy.
Hey, Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of, like, okay, well, you like ska named 3 bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
Big ol' thanks to Derek right there. So Robin Trower has got a brand new record. As I mentioned earlier, it's called No More Worlds to Conquer, which is kind of an interesting statement because the guy, as we've said, is a master of the guitar. What worlds are there to conquer when you've been doing it as at the height and level that he's been doing it for over 50 years? So we're going to discuss the record and what those words mean right there. Also, the songs that find him railing against world leadership and lying politicians. And he'll tell us about that. He's almost got another record complete. And we'll jump back to the 80s when he was playing with a Cream bassist, Jack Bruce. No More Worlds to Conquer. It's Kyle Meredith with Robin Trower.
Hi there. How you doing?
I'm doing great. What an honor it is to talk to you, and congratulations on this brand new record called "No More Worlds to Conquer."
Thank you very much.
It's we should start there too. It's a curious title. I think not one that many people expected someone to use. What does it mean? What does the title imply for this set of music?
Well, I mean, the song itself, the title song, is about Alexander the Great. So that's the phrase that's associated with him. But I thought it made a nice album title because I feel like I don't have anything to prove. But in actual fact, I still have some worlds to conquer.
It's interesting, too. You actually use an Alexander the Great. Was there any reason why? I mean, are you a history fan? What was it about him that stood out to you?
No, it's just I had watched a documentary on TV about him. And I was working on the music for the song at the same time, and the sort of idea of what he was about in his day fed into the song, and the two married up very nicely.
That's interesting because I don't know if that easily leads into like the world topic moments of this record, but you've got two very poignant songs on it, of course, with The Razor's Edge and Clouds Across the Sun. Is there a little crossover with what you're talking about with Alexander the Great's day and what the message you wanted to get across with these songs?
Well, I think Razor's Edge is definitely me bemoaning the lack of quality in leadership in the world today. I think that's what that song's about. And Cloud Across the Sun is about, you know, that politicians don't keep their promises.
Which, obviously, nothing new there, and bedfellows for rock music and this type of themes for, I mean, the history of the genre. When you're writing towards something like this, especially as we look at, again, you know, 50, 60 years or more of singing songs sort of in this vein, do you find that it's changed, at least in the way that you want to approach a subject like that?
I think maybe I'm more aware, you know, in recent years of the faults, mm-hmm. you know, and I think it's sort of played into my consciousness much more, and I think that's why it comes out in the lyrics.
I guess it'd be hard not to write about something like that at this point.
Definitely.
Although having someone else interpret the songs, I talk about Richard Watts, you know, doing the vocals here. How does your relationship work, especially if you're trying to get a certain point across? Is there a conversation that goes on there?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, what I do is I put down a guy's vocals for him to learn from so that he gets close to what I'm trying to say with the melody and the lyrics. And, you know, and we talk about what the song's about. But obviously, you know, he feels it in his own way, and it works very, very well.
Does that feel, I mean, is that when you also put on your producer hats? Because now you're producing someone else in that sense, right?
That's correct. I mean, as far as everything on the album, really, you know, you start having to wear a producer's hat to make sure, you know, you're getting the best from everybody and yourself as well.
Well, for you to do so much anyway, I mean, the producer seat, of course, writing the music and playing the music, the guitar and the bass. Do you approach the bass with as much reverence as you do with a guitar?
I don't consider myself a bass player, but what I'm more interested in is having the right part. It's all about the right part for the song for me. Uh-huh. So I quite often work out the bass part when I'm writing the song as well. So, you know, it all works hand in glove.
Like, you know, we talk about the guitar playing and what new can be said about, you know, what you've accomplished over your career. But I was reading a recent interview, and I do love how you talk about, especially the Strat, you were talking about the human voice quality of the Strat. And I was wondering if you would go into that a little bit further, because this is, I would imagine at least, you know, quite the, just like an extension of you, the, you know, at this point in your life, just another arm.
Well, that's definitely right. I mean, the guitar, especially the Strat, there's something inside me that responds to it, and it becomes like my own voice. And I think that's the magic of it.
So when you're writing with that, I mean, I guess what I'm getting at is it different when you're thinking about a guitar as a voice, as sort of a vocal line, than you would, I don't know, another guitar that doesn't have that same magic? Like, is there a big difference there?
I think there would be for me if I switched to, say, you know, a different make, Gibson or something. I think that's a different, completely different quality to the tone. You know, a Strat has a real has a tone to it that you can hear the string in it. You can hear the actual string, even though, you know, you can wind it up. You can always hear the string, which gives it a kind of a sweetness.
Well, again, there's magic in what you do with your instruments. And all throughout this record, which I know, you know, has the curious qualification of starting the record, having the pandemic happen, kind of going back and redoing it, dropping 5 songs, as I read, adding 4 new ones. Do you still have plans to put the drop songs out? Do they live anywhere in the future?
The drop songs I would cut again, I think.
Uh-huh.
Start afresh, yeah. But I'm already halfway through recording a whole batch of new songs for another album, so I've already got 6 on tape.
Wow.
So I may visit those songs that were dropped again at some point.
As you said, it's you know, a rare occasion when you get an album like this where you get to tinker with it in this way. You know, is that a thing? Like, how often do you wish you could go back and rework a record? Do you have those in your past in that sense?
Yeah, every album. Yeah, that's what's so great about this one is the first time that's ever happened, you know, where I've finished an album and had a chance to live with it for a year and see, you know, how it can be improved. But of course, you can go on ad infinitum. You know, you've got to stop somewhere.
Right. Well, you know, compliments on this one. And I've spent so much time lately listening to your back catalog, especially like Truce from 1982 with you and Jack Bruce and the work you did with Brian Ferry on especially on Taxi with those covers. I mean, just, you know, really amazing stuff there. And hearing, like, I'll use this as my final question, too, especially like with Truce, you know, listening to that now, it almost feels like I can hear a bit of that 80s era, the like post-punk and new wave. Like, I don't know if you go back and listen to it, but do you hear those influences in there at that point?
I'm not sure, but of course Jack was radical. You know, Jack Bruce was very radical in his playing, in his style, in his life force that he put into his music. You know, so I think that's what you're hearing, really.
It's a cool record, one that I was really happy to kind of rediscover lately, and you've got so many of those moments. Robin, congratulations again on No More Worlds to Conquer. It's another great example of what you've been putting out in the world for your entire career. So I thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it.
Thank you very much indeed. Bye-bye now.
And my thanks to Robin, and again to Derek Sherinian as well, and thanks to you for checking out the episode. Before you get out, please do hit that subscribe button. Again, 3 new interviews every single week, new and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at iTunes and Apple Podcast, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, or YouTube for the video versions. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. It's an hour full of song premieres, of music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots, Facebook, Instagram, mostly Twitter, all 3 of them at Kyle Meredith. Do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.